Amen. I want to preach a sermon this morning. I've called Treasure from Heaven. And if you want to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, and we're going to read all the way through to chapter 4, verse 18. So it says there, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to speak today on the subject of God's life dwelling in us. You and I are earthen vessels. Good morning, earthen vessels. And us who are born again and saved this morning have this life of God dwelling within our earthen vessels. Amen. And it's this treasure, as the Bible describes this. And verse 5 says in our scripture, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It says there, we are not sufficient of ourselves, that our sufficiency is of God. The thing about being a Christian is that all that we do in the Christian life, the sufficiency that we need to perform the will of God, it doesn't come from ourselves, does it? But it comes from God. Because when we were saved, when we were made alive in Christ, when you and I were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, when we became spirit-filled believers, we were given the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells in us. The life of God dwells in us. The treasure, as it says in the scripture, is held in earthen vessels. We've been given this. We hold it in earthen vessels. As earthen vessels, just on our own, without that life of God, we are but dust. We have no power to change without God. We are just vessels made of dust, insufficient of ourselves. We have no sufficiency in ourselves, do we? And that's often a hard lesson for you and I as human beings to realise and learn that we're insufficient, that we lack, that we're weak, that we're full of our own flaws and failings. As Alan was saying last week, our flesh is corrupt. There's nothing good dwells in us. The only goodness that you and I have this morning, the only righteousness, the only strength spiritually that we have is through Christ. It's his righteousness, it's his power, it's his strength. Our sufficiency is of God. Without God, you and I are just weak. Without God, we fail. You know, you'll get a lot of Christians who beat themselves up and they'll say, I'm just not good enough, I'll never be good enough, it's too hard. True. You never will be good enough. It is too hard of yourself. But our sufficiency is of God. Our strength is in the Lord. And the sooner we learn to lean upon him in all that we do, the sooner we'll find our life gets transformed. Paul says in verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We're in the new covenant now with God. It's a covenant which gives life. The old covenant only brought death because the law was insufficient to save us. Because we have a problem, don't we, called the sinful nature, which we were hearing a lot about last week. And knowing what the law is, how good and perfect and spiritual the law is, does not actually help us to actually perform and obey the law and do what the law requires. Because in ourselves, we are insufficient. We are fallen. We need something beyond us, don't we, to empower us to do what's right in God's eyes. The letter kills, it says. The law written on tablets of stone kills. In fact, in verse 7, it describes it as a ministry of death. What's your ministry, brother? Ministry of death. Written and engraved on stones. But even that ministry, it tells us, was glorious. It says the children of Israel couldn't look steadily at the face of Moses. Remember when he came down from the mountain? and because of the glory of his countenance, which it says that glory was passing away, it wasn't permanent. But when he came down from the mountain and his face was shining, and they couldn't look, and he had to put a veil across his face. And yet, it says that was glorious, but it was passing away. But in verse 8, Paul says, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? You see, the ministry of the Spirit is far more glorious because the veil has been taken away. The Spirit gives life. As he says in verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. You see, the old covenant was a ministry of condemnation because the law only showed us one thing, that we were guilty, that we fall short. It convicted us of our guilt before God. It was a ministry of condemnation. But the ministry of righteousness that comes through Christ, through his Spirit, exceeds much more in glory. And it says there in verse 10, for even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. See, the old covenant was passing away and being replaced with the new covenant, which was much more glorious. It tells us, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. So you and I have been given great hope. We can be absolutely confident in what we speak because we know it's going to bring life and righteousness. In verse 13, the Bible says, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know, Israel, as we know, has been temporarily blinded from the truth. They're still under the veil. They're still blinded because of the veil, and that's to allow the Gentiles to come in, wasn't it? And the veil has been taken away in Christ. We've been given the Spirit, and the Spirit, it says, is the Lord. And where the Lord is, it says, there's liberty, there's life, there's freedom, there's hope. Because what the law could not achieve can now be achieved through Christ. As it tells us in Romans, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, has now been fulfilled through Christ. Verse 18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as it in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what he's saying here is we've now got an unveiled face. We can behold, as it says, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We can now see. I was blind, but now I see. And because we can now see, we can see the glory of the Lord. We've tasted and known that the Lord is good, haven't we? It transforms us into the same image, it tells us. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is the work of God in us, transforming us from glory to glory, being renewed in the inner man, being transformed by the renewing of the mind, being formed into the image of Christ, having our character changed, having our mind renewed, our heart renewed, being circumcised in heart, having our eyes opened and empowered to act and to live righteously. We've got amazing hope this morning in Christ. In chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. You and I should not lose heart this morning. You know, life can be tough at times. Life can be difficult, especially as a believer in this life. There's lots of battles to be fought. There's lots of opposition comes our way. There's lots of trials and tribulations and sufferings and difficulties and hardship, strains and stresses, testings that come our way, but because we have this great hope, because we've been given the Spirit of God, because we've seen the glory, we do not lose heart. Verse 2 says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So what he's saying here is we've received mercy. You know, you and I have received mercy. What the law couldn't do has been done through the Spirit of God. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us has been blotted out, having been nailed to the cross. We've been justified. We're being sanctified. Our robes have been made clean. Our garments have been washed whiter than snow. We don't lose heart. We've got every hope, the hope of eternal life. We've renounced the hidden things of shame. All those things that we used to practice, the evil deeds that we used to do, the evil ways that we used to act upon, the evil desires that we used to gratify, we've renounced them. We turned away from them. We fled from evil. We don't walk in craftiness anymore. And our aim is not to handle the word of God deceitfully. You know, there's a lot of people that do handle the word of God deceitfully, who have doctrines that please the flesh, doctrines that justify them to do and live how they want and please, false doctrines, false teachings that deny Christ. They use the scriptures to justify it. They use the scriptures as a cloak for wickedness. They handle the word of God deceitfully. But if you're born again by the Spirit of God and you know the truth and you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you've lived the truth, you don't want to handle the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, as Paul tells us, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That when people look at us, they can see a reflection, hopefully, of Christ. When people listen to us, they hear the truth, they find light, they find hope as we tell them about Jesus. But he goes on to say in verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What he's saying here is that the gospel is still veiled to those that don't believe. It's veiled to those that are perishing. He says that they're blind and lost. You know, people think we're crazy when we preach the cross. They think we're nutters when we speak about a man dying on a cross 2,000 years ago for their sins, because they've been blinded by the lies of the enemy. He says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded? Who do you think the God of this age is? It's Satan, it's the devil, it's the prince of this world. Those who do not believe, it says, lest the glory of the gospel, the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. They don't want the glory of God to shine on them, because they prefer evil deeds. They don't want to come into the light, lest their deeds be exposed. It tells us that in John, doesn't it? They'd rather carry on in their darkness, because they don't want to repent. They don't want to have to give up sin. They don't want to change. They don't want the truth. They enjoy the deeds of darkness. And so they deceive themselves. They tell themselves a lie. They walk in darkness. They enjoy being blind. Lest they should see with their eyes and open their hearts and God should heal them. Nevertheless, if someone would open their eyes and they'd see with their hearts and understand with their hearts, then God would save them. But you know, the truth is this morning, only God can draw a man to himself. And you know, even with the revelation of Christ, some people will still refuse to repent. You know, I've been reading the book of Revelations again recently, and there's a scripture in there when it says that even when all these judgments are coming down upon the earth and God's wrath is being clearly poured out, that men will still not repent because they didn't want to forsake their immorality, their sorceries and their evil deeds. And the reason being is because men love darkness rather than light. Verse 5 says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You see, we don't preach ourselves this morning. We preach Christ Jesus. We preach Christ crucified because that is the only message that can change men's lives. Christ crucified is the only message that can set men free. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ. He is the only hope. He is the only way of salvation. There is no other name named under heaven by which men must be saved. It's only by his blood that our sin can be atoned for. It's only by his grace that we can be saved. It's only by his mercy that we can be forgiven. We don't preach ourselves. There's nothing good in us to boast about. Nothing good in us dwells. Only the righteousness of Christ can change men's hearts. A lot of people like to have their names up in big light ministries, don't they? Big names. But we preach Christ. We don't preach ourselves. It says we're just bondservants, as Paul puts it, for Jesus' sake. We're just servants. And unprofitable ones at that. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. God can raise up the very stones to worship him, it says in the scripture. He doesn't need us, does he? God commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who shone in our hearts. See, our hearts were once darkened, weren't they? Our hearts were once blind. But God commanded light to shine out of the darkness, thank God. He sent his word and healed us. He drew us to himself and led us to repentance. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for his mercy and grace. Verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." You know, this treasure, this life that we've been talking about through the Spirit, this glorious covenant that we've entered into with God, this treasure is in earthen vessels. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise, base things, the things which are not, to confound the things that are. It says that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, you and I, we're weak. We are the base things of the world. We are the are nots, to bring to nothing the things that are. We are but dust of ourselves, aren't we? Earthen vessels, mere men. But we've been given treasure from heaven. The Spirit of God dwells in us. The Spirit of God empowers us to live a life that otherwise we could never live. We are now dead to self and alive to Christ. And why is this? Why has God done it this way? So that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We've got nothing that we can boast about this morning. It's all of God's grace. It's all to his glory. Everything we do, everything we say, everything that we've been blessed with, everything we have, everything we are, is all by the grace, power and mercy and salvation of God. And to him be the glory. Amen. Verse 8, Paul says, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." You know, the Christian life can be tough. And I think times are getting harder out there. And it's more difficult now than ever to be a Christian. The spirit of Antichrist is at work in the world. You can feel it rising up around us, in the nations. You can see the hatred coming through of Israel, of the Jewish people. You can see hatred growing for Christians. You can see hatred growing for truth. You can see hatred of righteousness. And it's a spirit of Antichrist at work in the world around us. And I think the closer that we get to the end, the more of that spirit of Antichrist is going to be manifest. And for the Christian, times are only going to get harder. Opposition, persecution. Even in our individual lives, we face hardships, don't we? Sometimes life does not go according to plan. We have difficulties in this life that we have to overcome. Sometimes I wish we could just be like Enoch and be translated straight into heaven so that we don't have to see death. But that's not God's purpose, is it? In this life, you know, we'd never be overcomers, would we, if we didn't have something to overcome. God wants our faith to be purified, strengthened and perfected to his glory, for his purposes. And you know what, this morning, it's not just about us. God has purposes beyond just you and me. He wants to reach out to a lost and dying world. He wants to use weak vessels, earthen vessels like you and me, to reach out into those places where he needs to reach out to. You and I have a purpose this morning. We have a destiny in God. And that purpose is for us to do his will. And it's not just about us. People tend to think about this destiny in terms of what God's doing for us. It's about what God wants to use us for, to bring his will about. And he uses earthen vessels such as ourselves to bring glory to himself. We're privileged this morning that God should want to use weak and rubbish vessels such as us, with all our flaws and failings. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have to press in and continue. And why do we do that? Because we have hope. Why do we endure? Because we have hope. Because we have life. Because we have peace. Because we have joy. Because we've been forgiven. Because we've received mercy. Because we have salvation. We endure even though we're hard pressed on every side. Sometimes life feels like that, doesn't it? Getting knocked about. Hard pressed on every side in every area of our life, being hard pressed by people opposing us, family opposing us, problems that we face day in, day out. In modern terms, stresses and strains. Yet not crushed, it says. And why are we not crushed? Because God sustains us. God keeps us. God helps us. God strengthens us. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed sometimes. You know, we're all human here this morning, aren't we? Life can be perplexing, can't it? You only have to look at the news, and sometimes I look at the news feed and I feel perplexed when I see all the evil that's going on in the world around, in every level. Corruption, evil, selfishness, greed, hatred, bitterness, immorality, theft, fraud, you name it. It's all going on out there. And you can be perplexed when you see all this. But it says, but not in despair. See, there's a difference between being perplexed and being in despair. The reason we're not in despair is because you and I have got hope. Because we know that God's going to balance the books. We know God's going to take care of business. We know that righteousness is ultimately going to shine forth. When Jesus Christ returns, he's coming as a ruler who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Justice will be done. And you and I, if we're saved, we'll be ruling with him. So we're not in despair. We have hope. Persecuted but not forsaken. You know, we don't really know what persecution is. Yeah, we might get persecuted to some level for being a Christian, for speaking truth. People will mock us, laugh at us. You might get sidelined for a promotion. You may see some losses in your life for being a Christian. And those things aren't easy. It might cost you something in terms of money or time, having to stand up for righteousness. But real persecution, where you're being tortured, where you're being locked up and imprisoned, we haven't really known that, have we, in our generation? But even if we were to, even if God allows that to come into our lives, we should rejoice if we've been counted worthy, it says, to suffer persecution. That's meant to be our perspective. Even if that happens, God will never forsake us. Jesus said, I will never, never forsake you. I will never, never leave you. You know, they can kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. Struck down, but not destroyed. We can be struck down. We can be beaten. We can be hurt. But it says, but not destroyed. No matter what man does to us, if God is with us, then we're in a good place. Because whatever they do to us physically, they can't take our soul from God's hands. We can't be plucked out of the Father's hand. Verse 10 says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. You know, the Christian life, in a way, is a life of dying. Dying to self. Continually picking up the cross daily and denying ourselves. continually putting God first before ourselves. And that means death to the old nature, death to sin, death to selfishness. And dying can be painful, can't it? But when we prepare to die, the life of God is manifest in us. We die so that Christ can live in us. For we who live, it says, are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. You see, the life of Jesus, when we die to self, the life of Jesus is manifested, it says, in our mortal flesh. So this is the here and now, in this life. Your mortal flesh is you as you are now. Mortal is the flesh that's going to die, isn't it? Mortal means it's not immortal. It's mortal. So you, in a mortal body, can have the life of Jesus manifest in your life. And that's amazing this morning. That we can walk in this life, not just in the sweet by and by, in this life, manifesting the life of Jesus. Because we've died to self, so the life of Jesus can shine forth. That is the Christian life this morning. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. What is the Christian life? It's a person who is allowing the life of Jesus to rule and reign in their life. Who is prepared to die to self. Who's prepared to pick up that cross and be crucified with Christ so that the life of Christ may be manifest through them. Are you prepared to bear in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus? Are you prepared to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ? Are you prepared to suffer the loss of all things that you may gain Christ? And consider those things that you lose but dung in comparison to that glory which will be revealed in us. Are you prepared to let go of this life so that you can gain true life in Christ? Because without being prepared to do that, without being prepared to let go, without being prepared to forsake all to gain Christ, you'll never gain Christ without that willingness to fully surrender yourself. And that is what the Christian life is really about, being willing to fully surrender to God and fully die. Are you prepared to die to all your old self? It's a good question, isn't it? Are you prepared to fully die so that Christ can be manifested in you? Because that's what the gospel is. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. You see, death is working in us, but death also brings about the life of Christ in us. It says that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus. That's amazing. We're going to be raised up with Jesus. If we're prepared to die in this life, we'll be raised up with Jesus. The same God that raised Christ from the dead will raise us up from the dead, and we'll be glorified with Christ. We'll be raised up. We'll have new glorified bodies, resurrection bodies. And that life that you and I have been given never ends. And that's the beauty of it this morning. It's everlasting life. It never ends. It goes on and on and on and on forever and ever and ever. Because that is life is exactly that. It's eternal life. Therefore, in conclusion, verse 16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So because of this life that we've been given and this glorious new covenant we've entered into, where the Spirit of God is working in us and through us, because of all this, we do not lose heart, no matter what we're facing in this life. And you know, life can get as hard as it needs to get. But if you've got Christ living in you, then you don't lose heart because you've got eternal hope, eternal mercy, eternal salvation. We don't lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing. You know, a lot of people when the outward man is perishing, begin to lose heart. You know, we're surrounded by death and decay. And I think as you get older, I mean, I'm in my mid-50s now. I don't know about you, but the older you get, the more you notice death and decay all around you. Illness and sickness, cancers and diseases. How easy it is to die. And then you look at your own body changing. And your skin's not as elastic as it used to be. You lose your hair. You start getting creases and wrinkles in places where you didn't think you were going to get them. You've not got the energy you once had. Your body's beginning to fail you. But the Bible says, though my flesh and my heart may fail me, God is the strength of my life. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. Day by day, we're being transformed. We're being renewed. We're being changed. The life of God is living in us. We're manifesting the life of Christ as we live by faith. We manifest in his life. And that faith expresses itself through love in what we do and serve one another and love one another. And this is all the life of God at work. That inward man being renewed day by day. And it is a daily process, isn't it? As we pick up that cross and die to self, the life of God is manifest and changes us and renews us into the image of Christ. Verse 17, Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Excuse me. So he's saying, all this dying that we're doing daily, all this suffering we're encountering, all these hardships we're enduring, all these difficulties we're facing, all the persecution that we know, where we're being hard-pressed on every side, where we're being persecuted, where we're being perplexed and struck down, all these things that are part of the normal Christian life, he calls them light afflictions. And this is Paul we're talking about here, who was beaten, was whipped, and all the suffering that he struggled with, he calls it light affliction. We think it's light affliction if we just stub our toe on the doorway. 2 Corinthians 11:22-29, Paul says there, "In labours more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and the day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying." We think we've got trials. And he calls that light affliction. So it does put things into perspective, doesn't it? The sufferings of this life are light affliction. They're only but for a moment. In the context of eternity, this life is just a flash in the pan, isn't it? We're here 1 minute and we're gone the next. It's but for a moment. The suffering that we endure is only temporary. It's not forever. But it says they work in us a far more, or work for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, what we lose in this life, we gain far more in the next. It's nothing compared to what we're going to be inheriting and gaining through Christ. And we need to get things into perspective, don't we? Verse 18 says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You see, all that counts is the eternal. The things of this life are just temporary. They're passing away. It's vanity. It's fleeting. It's temporary. It's not forever. Whatever you gain in this world, you can't take with you into the next. The only thing that you'll take with you is what you've allowed of the life of Christ to to be manifested in your mortal flesh during this life. That you can take with you. Then you'll be rewarded, it says, with a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. So when we look at life, we have to look at it through the perspective of looking at what the things that are that we don't see. We have to go into each day with our mind upon what's above, not what's on what's below, upon the eternal, not the temporary. It's so easy to get caught up, isn't it, in the temporary, in the nitty-gritty of life. And don't get me wrong, all of us have to deal with practical problems and responsibilities. We all have to get out of bed in the morning, wash our teeth, make our food, go to work, keep the house clean, and all those things that we all do in everyday life. But they're just temporary things. They're just trivial in comparison to the eternal, aren't they? Our perspective needs to be on the eternal, because all that really matters is that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God's given us life. God's given us salvation. He's given us a future and a hope. And that's what we need to dwell in daily and let it be manifest in our life daily. And being willing to die daily to keep our perspective on the eternal daily. Because that ministry we're involved in is a ministry of righteousness, a ministry of glory, a ministry of life. We've had the blindness taken away from us, thank God. The veil has been removed. We've been given the light of life. So we need to walk in it daily and not get caught up in the here and now. And when things don't go our way, as they often don't lose heart, don't lose hope, don't quit, don't despair. No matter what we face, as Paul said, you know, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're not in despair. We're not forsaken. We're not destroyed, because we have hope and we have a future in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray.